First Chronicles 16, verses 8 to 36. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracle and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word that He has commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed as a statute to Jacob and as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number and of little account, and sojournings in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not My anointed ones, do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and He is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the nations be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult in everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen. And praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning again for this time to come together. We thank You again for the fullness of Your word that we have in the Old and the New Testaments that reveal to us all that we need to know about who You are, about who we are as sinful men, about this wonderful work that has begun before the foundations of the world were laid, and Lord, that You have accomplished this work through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior and our King. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to act and live our lives accordingly in the manner that is befitting people that take on the name of Christians. We pray again that You would use this time this morning to help us to have hearts that are truly thankful for all that You have done and for all who You are. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you've given careful attention to God's Word, you will know that these verses in chapter 16, verses 8 through 22 in this chapter, are the same words that are found in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 15. There's nothing different. Then it goes off in a different direction than that. I thought this passage in 1 Chronicles would be a fitting text to consider this morning as we look at some of what God has to say about Thanksgiving, not as a holiday, but as an action in our lives that should be taking place on a daily basis. I don't want to talk this morning about the holiday of Thanksgiving itself. I've done that before a number of times. I've done that in years past. But rather to focus on things to be thankful for as children of God. As we consider things to be thankful for as children of God, because the honor in all of this should be going to Christ. After all, that's the reason why the pilgrims came together and called for the day of fasting and giving thanks. I remind you that the first Thanksgivings weren't feasting. They were fasting. And then later on, the feasting came. And the feasting was good. There's nothing wrong with feasting, by the way. But without the work that God has done in Christ on our behalf, we would only have the passing pleasures of this life to be thankful for. And then death and eternal judgment. So, you know, when we look at it, as children of God, we are blessed to be thankful for short lives lived with the pleasures in this world. We can be thankful for that, but we can be even more thankful that this doesn't compare. This doesn't even compare to touch what God has promised for us. So often, so easily, we get entangled. We get caught up in this world. Oh, we love this little thing or that little thing. We had once just yesterday in one of the classes we were going through, and every once in a while, and we all do it, we get this thing we have longed for, and then we get it, and the looking forward to was as pleasurable as the getting, it seems, because in 2 weeks it's all gone, and we're no longer as thankful for it, and in 2 years it's off in the corner, or parked in the garage, or whatever, and we've just pretty much forgotten the joy we once anticipated in gaining this. And so much more so should be as we look at God and we give thanks for the things that He has done for us. And because we know that God is King over all the earth and that nothing can hinder His great purposes. And we see this in this passage. And what I would like to call most of our attention to this morning is some of the things that we see that we have to give thanks for and the reasons why we should delight in giving God thanks. Not just say, oh yeah, that's nice, thank you. You know, I mean, really giving God thanks. We tend to do the trite thank you to a thank you, Lord. It's kind of like we do with somebody if they give us a quarter. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But God gives us wonderful and great things. And we need to be more thankful, not only just this one day of the year. It's good to have a day of the year, a celebration of Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving should be something that flows from the heart of the Christian all the time. So I want today to first look at some of the wonderful things that we see in this small portion of God's Word that we have just read through and what it has to say and how this then should affect us in our own thanksgiving to God regardless of the circumstances that we might find ourselves in. Often, and if you've been here long enough, you know that I'll do a Thanksgiving sermon, and I will bring you hundreds and hundreds of passages and just overload you with, because the Word of God has so much to say about this area of giving thanks and thanksgiving to God. But today I really want to just kind of focus in on this one main passage and then look at some of the things that this should mean to us. The first words in the psalm are, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name." This is something, make known His deeds among the people. We should be thankful that God has called us, that He has privileged us to be able to do this. Only Christians can really thank the Lord in the way that we're called to here. Only God's people. Only we can make known His deeds among the peoples, because we're pretty much the only ones that really read them and proclaim them. The deeds, again, are not the deeds that we have in our own lives, the things that God has done for us. These are nice little testimonies of what He's done. But what we see here, these things that have been written down in the history of the 6,000 or so years the earth has been around. And I'll get down to this at one point in this. But it says, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, and tell of all His wondrous works. Oh, how delighted we should be to do this very thing. How thankful we should be that we are privileged, that God has given us this calling. He has said to us, "You, my people, tell of all my wondrous works." And then we should be thankful that God in His mercy has again given us His word. He has given us, because He calls us in verse 12 down here, "Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He has uttered." Well, we should be thankful that He has allowed us a means to remember it. We don't just have all this passed on down through one person telling the story to another as they had before they had the written word of God. We have it written. We have it written so many ways in so many languages today. We have it so we can listen to it on our iPod. But He calls us to remember. And we should be thankful that He has done these wondrous works, these miracles, and His judgments that He has uttered. Hopefully we're thankful for the miracles, even if you've never had an actual, quote, miracle in your own life. We see that they're very real, that God can go beyond what we call the normal extremes of this world into other areas that we go, well, that's miraculous. Now, again, that word is too wide to use today. We go, well, every child's a miracle. No, every child's not a miracle. Every child's a wonderful thing, but they're not a miracle. They are extremely fascinating and complex. Life itself is. Miracles are things that God does that are unique in their nature. And they are stuff that you can't do. So we got to get the words back to what they mean. Again, when we say God is good, you know, that's good. But again, does good mean good, good? Or does it mean really good? Does miracles mean, well, that's a miracle? Did you know that happened? I got healed. Well, sometimes you just run a course of stuff. Sometimes people do have miraculous healings. This is real. It's real in the Bible. It's real in our world. We see this. God does these wonderful things. We should be thankful for them. We should be thankful that God reveals Himself in this way from time to time, that He has done so to such a great extreme during the time of Christ, that there were more miracles and things taking place at that time, although there seems to have been more demonic action taking place at the time of His life as well. But we need to remember these, and we should need to be thankful that we have the Word of God to do that. We need to be thankful. It says in verse 13, "O offspring of Israel, servants, sons of Jacob." By the way, we are sons of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. His chosen ones. We are His chosen ones. Oh, if we had nothing else to be thankful for, that we are His that He chose us. It didn't say that anything referring to us choosing Him. We are His chosen ones. Now we know this is especially written to Israel. But we also want to keep in the mind that today the nation of Israel is not necessarily what we call God's people, because they have rejected Christ altogether. and determined to hang on instead to the law that they had before. But now when we see this, we know that this applies to those that God has called to Himself, that He has worked out their salvation. Remember His covenant forever and the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. For some of you who were at the class yesterday, we kind of put the generations of the world into 6,000 years. Comes out to about 185 generations. But this promises to for 1,000 generations, so much more. That would be pretty much going 5 times more. So how much more is that? How many thousands of years do we look at there if we were to add it that way? It's just a wonderful picture of God's blessings for His people and for the children of His people passed on. The covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed as the statute to Jacob as an everlasting covenant. And we see that this everlasting covenant that He made with Abraham has been fulfilled in Christ, and we have been become joint heirs with those who had come before us in that. We need to be thankful for this sort of stuff. When it says here in verse 19, when you were few in numbers and of little account and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not My anointed ones, do My prophets no harm. What a wonderful promise we have. It's something to be thankful for, that our God can order kings. He sets up and He takes down nations at His own beck and call, at His own timing, and for His own reasons. We should be thankful that we actually have nothing to worry about if we are in Christ. Nothing. Well, that may seem strange, and we'll talk a bit about that, because we all have these things going on in our life. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, and tell of His salvation from day to day. Now, I could say both things there. Sing to the Lord for all the earth. But thankfully I'm part of it, and I have the privilege of being able to sing to the Lord and being part of that, to tell of His salvation from day to day. I like how He says it there, not every now and again. Sing about these things once in a while, but sing about them day to day. Oh, the Christian walk is not something we do from Sunday morning to Sunday morning to Sunday morning to Sunday morning to, oh, this holiday, and then Sunday morning again. The Christian walk is a continuum. It is something that is taking place all the time. And so we should be deeply involved in this all the time. Down in verse 24 it says, declare His glory among the nations and His wondrous marvelous works among all the people. We should be thankful for the glory of God. We say the word, we understand it in degree, but we're all going to be totally amazed beyond our wildest imaginations when we see the full glory of God, because wherever we see it depicted in the Bible, they use the words as best as they can to depict something that you can't imagine until you actually see it in its fullness. Declare His glory, though. This God who is great beyond your understanding among the nations, and His marvelous works. It's not just He did some things. These are marvelous things that God has done. That we see this wonderful picture of His working out His promises and His faithfulness and His decrees among certain peoples from the beginning. And then that hard reality that not everybody will respond to this. What we have to give thanks for is beyond what I can say today. God did not have to save us. He is not required to. He had no obligation at all to save any one of us. For God is the Lord, and is greatly to be praised, and He is to be held in awe above all gods. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us that, because people wouldn't have known that. Because we have gods, maybe we don't make up too many today, but even in our world, people are still worshiping all kinds of false gods. And what it says here, for all the gods of the people are idols. They're false gods. But the Lord made the heavens. We have this wonderful, we're studying creation again through the Ken Ham series. God made the heavens. What did the idols do? Nothing. They can't do anything. They're chunks of wood or stone or cloth or whatever people make them out of. They do nothing. They have to be made. But our God, He has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Oh, what we have to be thankful for as Christians. Strength and joy are in His place, in His presence. And where are we when we come together as His people? We are in His presence. Unless we forget that, ever. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in splendor and holiness. We should be thankful that we get to actually come before Him. As well as be thankful that we actually get to bring an offering. Knowing that our offering isn't that thing that takes away our sin. But when we see the picture of the offering that is given here, that was something that would be to cover up a sin for a time. Where we have that great sacrifice in Christ. Worship Him in splendor of holiness. Then if you read down in verses 30 to 31, it says simply, tremble before Him, all the earth. Well, that doesn't sound anything to be thankful for, but it will as we get down there. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Sometimes we make things more confusing than they really need to be. The Lord reigns. I could just get up and say that, and people should be able to go, wow. But we're not. We need more. But just that. We should be thankful. Extremely thankful. Our Lord reigns. That means He is victorious. Too much of the world and too much of the church was under the impression that this is Satan's realm, and Satan has control over this today. Well, that's not true at all. That all ended with Christ. That all ended with His work. He has influence today. He no longer reigns. Christ is King. The Lord reigns. Then, I like this, and this is one of the things I really highlighted for myself. Then shall the trees, well, let me read on. Let the sea roar and all that it fills. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Whew. Most people don't want to hear about judgment. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it to this extent. I know that when God comes at that last time to judge the earth, that then there will be no more of the stuff that we have to deal with day to day. And so I look forward to it, and I am thankful that the promise is given to us that God will come and he will judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, it says, for he is good. Let me say that word strongly. He is good. Not just good, everyday good. He is good indeed. For his steadfast love endures forever. What a promise we have there. His steadfast love endures forever. That means if you are in Christ, in spite of what I read earlier in the prayer about our wickedness and sinfulness, our even willingness at times to say, well, I'm covered by grace. I'm good. The truth is you are covered by grace if you are in Christ. And you are good. And his steadfast love does endure forever. In spite of you. In spite of me. Then the words here, I'm thankful for them. Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather and deliver us up from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Oh, are we that thankful all the time? I keep wondering, week to week I get on Facebook and I look at stuff, and there's like 10 people on there out of my 150 or so. I don't know how many friends I actually have. I've never did the count. But there's 10 or maybe 20 people that actually speak much about the Lord. They have this wonderful vehicle to say to all their friends, hey, I have this wonderful stuff to tell you about God. But we don't. We don't proclaim this. We're not giving thanks on a regular basis. Oh, thank you, Lord, for today. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Well, somebody might not like what I have to say. Oh, go ahead and say it. I had a wonderful thing this week on speaking about baptism and all this, and all this controversy came up about it. But it was wonderful that it came up, that somebody put something there that drew all the attention to it. And I was so glad that so many people responded. And although there's diversity in belief at times, people, you can see there's this love of God. We love God. We want to see his kingdom established. And then blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, amen. And we should be thankful that God is the God of his people from everlasting to everlasting, and that we are blessed to be a part of being able to say amen. Now, I just want to speak just briefly about how this should look in our lives as we have looked at this. And we go, okay, I should be thankful for all this. We should be thankful for the things that we normally are thankful for our families, for those of you who are blessed to have them, for your children. We should be thankful this week that we, again, as we pray each week, we're thankful that we have a church, that we have leaders in the church, that we have a place where we can come that is reasonably safe and keeps the elements off us pretty well. It's not hideous to look at. It's better than meeting in a cave or a cellar. We have a lot of things to be thankful for that I call the normal things to be thankful for. We have jobs, although our jobs are never really that secure, although some people may think they are from time to time. We don't know. And for most part, people have their health, which is really a big important one, and people forget this often. And so we should be thankful for those things. We should be thankful for the little things. Little things. Bonnie went to see a butterfly show yesterday. Just not one kind of butterfly, but butterflies, if you've ever seen them, I'm sure all of you have. And at one point in your life, you've actually got up close to one and you've may have actually held it and studied it a little bit. And it's always wonderful when you're looking into studying it, and right at the right moment, it seems they just up and fly away ever so slowly. Sometimes they'll fly around your head once or twice just for a last look. And we should be thankful. And usually when I see something like that, I go, oh, thank you, for that was beautiful. We should be thankful for those things. But we should be thankful for more than that. I was laying on the couch this week in a good bit of pain at one point. And I was praying to God, and I was talking to Him, telling Him how what a hard time I was having, being thankful for being in the condition I was in at that moment. But trying my best to be thankful. And we need to really come to grips with this, that God allows things to take place in our life to build us up. He makes it clear to us throughout His Word that it is through the testings and trials and temptations of our life that we become strong. It is not through those plateau moments that we just all adore and we go, ooh, that was nice. It is when things get rough that God is... So we need to be a people who are able to honestly say, and I know that many of you here have gone through rough times, and the past, some of you have been really super blessed in that way where your body just kind of keeps on going really well and you don't struggle with much. But I just know people that I'm looking around that I know go through continual health problems, and you got to wonder at times, you go, how come I get this? Of course, then if we look around us, we see that other people are getting so much worse at times, and we go, well, thank you that that's all I get. And we need to be thankful like that, saying, well, God, I don't understand why you've given this to me. And I want you to try to consider this week, because here's what Thanksgiving is to most people in America, even to many people in the church. It's getting together with your family. It's having a nice big turkey dinner or something similar to that. And then for many people, sitting around and watching football games for the rest of the day, talking about things they do and don't like. Thanksgiving for a Christian should look a little bit different at times. And there should be more of the prayer at the table, as opposed to, well, let's hurry up and eat the food. It's going to get cold. Maybe we should start praying a couple minutes earlier. But we should be, even in that day, it should be a day of giving thanks, not only for the blessings that we count as blessings, but those things that are hardships that God has given us in our life. Those things that we don't understand why He has given it to us, but we know by the very promises of God that He is using that to work out His greater purposes, both for the building up of His kingdom and for sanctification in our lives. And I want us to become people who are able to do that. Even when we're in pain, it's okay to be in pain. It's okay to say, oh, it's okay to say, I'm really suffering. I don't like this. But at the same breath to say, but my God knows what He is doing, and I am thankful for what He is doing in my life and how He's going to use it. It's interesting that we often don't see how God works these things in the lives of other people for years and years. And in fact, sometimes until after we've gone to be with the Lord, and then we find that out, how He works that out. But we need to give God thanks. And I'm going to close with this, because 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 starts out kind of where I began this morning, looking at Philippians in our call to worship, where it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You today, and we thank You that You have been gracious to us in many areas, again, most especially in your calling of us to yourself and salvation. We thank you as we look around and we realize that although we have jobs sometimes that we don't like or care for, or sometimes we even have families we're not all that crazy about at the moment, but Lord, that you have blessed us with these things, that you are using the people and the events in our lives to shape us, to mold us, that you use the tough times in our life to strengthen us, to allow us to see, do we really trust you? Is our hope and our surety really resting in you? Or is it just in how we feel in this world? Help us, Lord, to be people to realize as we look around also to see that how often others have so much more put upon them than we do in ways of tragedy and sickness and poverty. And so, Lord, as we are Americans and we live pretty well in this world, help us to be a people who are thankful for that. Not always striving for more, 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 but learning to be content because, Father, I think that is one of the greatest parts or portions of Thanksgiving is that we are content with what you have given us, whether it is what we particularly want at that moment or not, that you are God who is providentially working in our life, that you are sovereign over all the affairs of this world. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us as your people today, this week, and this Thursday when we gather with family and friends, or on Wednesday or Friday. Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to give you praise. Help us to lift up your name. Help us to proclaim the wondrous things you have done, the promises that you have given to us that are from everlasting. Help us to proclaim the reality that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you will not abandon us, but that we are indeed yours forever, that we are the bride of Christ. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us and strengthen us through this portion of your word, through this week, and as we consider other parts where we see you have given us this call to proclaim thanksgiving, to call praise to your name, and to delight in who you are. And we pray this all in Christ's name, who is our Lord, our Savior, our friend, and our King forever. Amen.